unwarranted music opinion. Unwarranted music opinion. I don't care if you don't want to hear my opinion about your robot.
Oh, we still didn't peak, so that's good. Welcome to Unwarranted Music Opinions, the show in which three music, I don't even know what we are, music listeners, music fans,
flesh bags,
or something else. I'm Jacob Lindberg, I'm here with Chaz Jenkins.
Hello everybody.
And Brian Courtney.
Hey.
And we've chosen an album each that we've forced each other to listen to, and we've gathered here today to talk about them. First up is the album that I chose. It's the 1988. It is 88, I was right. Album by Olympia Washington Lo-Fi, and then they're also labeled Twee Pop band Beat Happening. Their album Jamboree. Just to describe the sound of this, basically the band is made up of three people who decided they wanted to be in the band, so they did. It's super, super amateurish. The vocals are obviously untrained.
They're mixed very high as well.
The all of the musicianship is extremely, I guess amateurish is again the word that I'm going to use. However, because of all of those things, this was a very, very influential album, and Beat Happening were an extremely influential band. This is happening in the mid to late 80s when they're coming onto the scene. And it really sort of predates the whole DIY, lo-fi kind of aesthetic that would be a lot more popular in the 90s, even though it did exist in the 80s.
Heck, we were making the mixtapes around this time.
Right.
So, yeah.
They were also pretty influential to change kind of the cultural view of punk music and underground rock music. Some people say that Beat Happening kind of changed the view of a punk rocker from a guy with a mohawk and a motorcycle jacket to someone, just anybody in like a sweater, like a turtleneck sweater. Could be anybody. Because they were all like college students at the time, pretty nerdy. I think Calvin Johnson worked at a radio station playing records and kind of promoted a lot of bands going on. This is kind of the Washington scene before, this is pre-grunge. And they actually promoted a lot of the bands that would end up getting a lot more popular, like Mudhoney, and even, I think, Kurt Cobain was around them at the time. Modest Mouse came out of Olympia, Washington. It's really just the beginning of the music scene there. So let's go ahead and talk about Jamboree. Brian, I'm really excited to hear what you have to say about this.
You want me to go first?
I want you to go first.
I almost want Chaz to go first. I like this look on his face, and that it spells disaster for you, most likely.
You know how I do. I'll do what I like first, and then I'll kind of transition to what my problems with it. What a raw experience. This is as lo-fi without sounding like noise as it gets, because it's just so dumbed down beyond belief. But it's real. There's nothing fake about it. Everything done here is tried and true. Like I love that about it. The simple yet poignant lyrics I can really respect. I've got a crush on you, I've got a crush on... See, like, you don't need it. Like, finally Jacob gives me a pick that's not full of cryptic lyrics. Yet there are some cryptic stuff in here, but, like, I've got a crush on you. I can work with that. I know what he's singing about. Yes, it's like... And that just makes it easier to understand what the whole song is about. Catwalk's a great example of that, where I know right from the get-go what it's about, and I relate to it. I really like that song. That's probably one of my favorite songs on the record. I dig the basic but solid instrumentation. You could have told me it was one guy doing all this, and I would have believed you. If there's bass, I couldn't tell.
I don't think they have a bassist.
I didn't hear anything.
It's just drums and guitar.
That's so funny.
A lot of the drum beats are boom, 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 boom.
I think the drum is the best part.
Almost all of the songs are the same drum beat, and this is true throughout like most of their albums. They have like four albums, five maybe.
So, okay, I guess my biggest problem with this album, and you're probably going to disagree because it's the point, but it is a legitimate thing that I have an issue with. the incredibly basic composition can get a little repetitive, especially in Indian Summer.
Oh my god.
Whoa,
I know.
Really?
Wait, that
song's fire.
I was begging for a bridge or something. Because songs like Bewitched and In Between kind of do the same thing. I like the melodies more in that, and they do.
Oh man.
There's just some songs. One song goes into, I guess you could call it a solo, so I'm like, yay!
There's like a 10-second guitar solo.
Yeah.
I think it's Drive Car Girl or Midnight A Go-Go, where there's just like a very brief guitar solo. That's like,
I know. Controversial opinion, but it's just, there were many moments where I was like, okay, this is starting to get a little boring. Or just, it's too repetitive. But again, it isn't too bad because of how surprisingly catching and charming it is.
And the relatively short runtime as well.
Yeah, and it does not overstate its welcome. I'm mostly nitpicking, really. It's not bad. I love a lot of the songs on this record. It's just, if I had to give it a complaint, I can say that just sometimes the composition just leads itself to be a little repetitive.
But that's not
a bad thing. And I guess my biggest issue, really, if I had to say, is that the lead singer, the male lead singer,
is incredible. He's so good.
Yes. His delivery is phenomenal, but just sometimes he's a little off on his pitch.
Well, of course he is.
I know, and I know it's the point, but just sometimes I'm like, oh, your vocals.
Look, okay, I was a little bit like that with you at first, and I gotta say, Beat Happening.
I'm sure the more listens, like, you don't even.
Beat Happening as a band, it was a grower for me. Jamboree's not the first album by them I heard. I heard You Turn Me On, their 1992, their last album, generally their most acclaimed. To give you an idea, that album was like a 6 the first time I heard it, and it's like a 9 to me now. And that's similar for the band as a whole. Once Calvin Johnson's vocals grow on you, boy, do they grow on you.
There's no going back.
I would not change anything
honestly,
about any of the performances, including the vocals on
like
the
my only
album.
Least favorite track on the album is Jamboree, and that's just because it's just his vocals the whole time, which
the bees are hop, the bees are hop.
But I love, but the lyrics are saved that for me because of just how mind-boggling they are, but
very, very kind of childish.
Again, I'm just nitpicking.
Yeah.
I really don't have a least favorite song on this record. It's just, if I were to skip a track, it'd be this one. But
Indian Summer?
No,
or
Jamboree.
Okay.
Indian Summer, my biggest problem is that it's repetitive. I'm begging for a bridge near the end of it, or something to change it up, but I like the melody on it. Indian Summer. Like, it's catchy. It's very surprisingly catchy.
Many, many, many bands have covered Indian Summer. Indian Summer is like the indie rock version of Knockin' on Heaven's Door. I think it's a quote from the frontman of Galaxy 500. So many bands have covered Indian Summer. It was pretty monumental.
Which is interesting.
And influential at the time.
I wouldn't even...
There's a lot of bands that have a sound like this, but
oh, yeah.
Not when this album came out at all.
Oh, I'm sure this was...
Yeah, it's hard to appreciate that in retrospect sometimes. Like, it's hard to look at it because you're like, well, I've heard so much like this. It's like, well, this was the first one. It's like, yeah, but I didn't...
But that's the thing. I can see the influence, but I still haven't heard anything like this.
What I'm saying is the lo-fi kind of amateurish aesthetic, which is in a lot of, like, bedroom pop and indie pop and indie rock right now.
Especially bedroom pop. They're all over it.
They're all over it.
There was a pretty good bedroom pop on album that came out on Bandcamp. That I really enjoyed that.
There's a million bedroom pop albums on Bandcamp.
But this one was on my front page when I started using it.
Right.
Good. I'm kind of on the fence on this album. It's all duality. It's like the amateurish vocals are sometimes charming, come off well, and other times it's like, you know, it doesn't really work, doesn't appeal, as does the lo-fi production, which is like in my opinion, the weakest part of this album. Is sometimes it's a little too lo-fi, like there's a little... too much not effort. Like, there's not enough effort put forth to the sound or the music itself. I think Bewitched is like a, you know, it's charming when it works, like on tracks like Bewitched, Indian Summer, and Ask Me, which is like a very, I think it's like 50 seconds or something.
Mm-hmm. You gonna ask me what I did today?
Yeah, it's just like a fun little cute thing. This is cool because it sounds like it's just a bunch of friends. Oh, and Midnight at Go-Go as well. And the This Many Boyfriends Club is a track that I really liked when I first heard it and still do enjoy. And it's like kind of experimental, I guess. But like,
it's legitimately kind of frightening with the fan, like it's a live cut.
Yeah.
And the screaming is just a fan like yelling in the background, but man, the feedback comes in and he starts singing it and the screaming comes in and you can hear the microphone like dropping or like hitting something. That's like kind of startling.
It's a little weird.
Bleak period for an ending of an album.
It depends on when I'm listening to the song if I enjoy it or not. Hangman is like, it's like a weird kind of dark cut. I think a lot of the lyrics that are written on this album, I don't really read into them too much. I don't think there's a lot to read into. I think, you know, they're just in general trying to write catchy or moving songs, like with Bewitched, which is really straightforward, and Indian Summer, which is very repetitive, but it's written to be a very catchy pop anthem. And Hangman is written to be this kind of like dark foreboding, you know,
melody on Hangman.
It's kind of a character portrait.
I do think that the lyrics are very simple on some tracks, but on other tracks there's some deceptive kind of ideas going on. Like in between the second track, a lyric that I really, really like, the whole lyrically I really like that track, but "and let's not talk about what makes us die, let the jokes make the years go by, because it's a burden, it's hard to bear, it's too easy to not even care." It's just about not taking things so seriously. And that, I think that the sound really works with that, and the performances really amplify the meaning that they talk about. And Indian Summer, and I gotta talk about Indian Summer because it's perfect to me.
You hear it at first and you're like, okay, yeah, it's kind of catchy. And then they keep doing the same thing for like two more minutes and it's like really good. I found myself singing along to the song upon like second listen.
Because, Indian Summer and this entire album did grow on me. I didn't love it as much as I do now. But now, Indian Summer, it's such a... to me, it's very, very... I don't even know what the word
is
here.
It's simple.
It's poignant.
Yeah.
It's nostalgic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
we'll come back for Indian Summer. I feel like he's talking... like, it's not specific, but all of the imagery and stuff he's... all through the lyrics, I feel like he's just talking about childhood summers or growing up and saying we'll come back for Indian Summer, but can you really? And it's a little bittersweet.
Like a subjective vocal delivery on this track as well that kind of lends itself to that theory.
We'll come back for Indian Summer and go our separate ways. Like, there's a little bit of like lost love there.
Yeah, well, I will say like the vocals constrain on me a little bit. I can definitely see how it's amateurish, but it's not on purpose. He's performing. I feel like he's acting that way on purpose, giving off a total vibe with it. It's not just, that's just how he normally sings. I'm sure he's a great singer, but I'm sure...
I don't know.
That's how he sings.
That's how they play, too.
That's as good as they are.
But that's not the feeling I get. I feel like he's doing that on purpose.
No.
To make a point with the song.
Well...
like, the delivery acts to the meaning.
It can be an authentic delivery and still have a point. It doesn't have to be something that they were like, all right, guys, we're going to change the face of indie music. We're going to change the face. They didn't set out to do that, really. If that was a byproduct of what happened when they started releasing records, then fine. But I think that really, I think they just wanted to get together and record some songs and release some music. And just in the act of them doing that and just being some people who got together and recorded some stuff on a cassette tape and released it, that in and of itself was influential. That was because people realized, oh, hey, I think I can do this.
The themes in this album there's not one unifying thing. This isn't like some conceptual whatever. Yeah. You don't go to it for that. It's, you know, it's a bunch of people recording songs. The theme across this is, you know, it's like them trying a new thing. It's like them exploring what they can do with this thing they love. So it's, you know, it's cool and appealing in that way. But it doesn't all, you know, like I said, that amateurish appeal and the lo-fi aesthetic doesn't always work out. And the album does meander in the middle with all the very quick cuts that got. By the time, I think from, like, Jamboree is not a track I totally enjoy. And mm-hmm. I mean, of course, it's very short, so it's, you know, it's like having, you know, one scoop of vanilla ice cream. And, you know, and you had two chocolate before, and you're like, what's this? But you eat it anyway. Crashing Through and Catwalk are kind of songs that just, you know, not really.
I think Crashing Through is great. I think that's one of the catchiest.
I love Catwalk. That's like one of my favorite songs.
It just meanders for me. I think the beginning and the end are strong. I wish I could have. I mean, I know this album is like, what, you know, 30 years old, but I do wish they had kind of almost 40. I wish they could come through with some more like lengthy tracks. And like, I would love to have heard them, you know, really try their sounds out. But I do understand
now they do that on a couple of their later albums, especially their last album, which has it starts out with a 7-minute track. There's a 9-minute cut on there. Musically, it's a lot more adventurous. It's more produced. That might be the Beat Happening album for you, because it does everything that you are wanting this album to do.
Is this their debut?
This is not. Their debut was released in 85.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so
I was gonna say, Brian, like, this is just an experiment, so like they're finding out what works, and then they're gonna add on in later releases. That's the point of it.
By the time 92 came around, they had already developed a bit of a following. They had the means to go into the studio and make something a little bit different. So they work with multiple tracks of guitar coming in over top of each other instead of just a little live sound like this is. It's definitely more of a studio album, and it's more ambitious musically.
Talking about the instrumentation a little bit, I guess, because we haven't really talked about that. I like how the there's no bass on this album, I don't think, but I love the like deep tones on Hangman.
Mm-hmm.
And the vocal delivery is very, the cadence is very good there. It lends itself to the track. And I don't know, it's just kind of cool. It's like a character portrait for me. You know, it's like my son's grown up, he's a Hangman. You know, it's really cool. It's really catchy. I think it's as good as Indian Summer, honestly. I wish it were longer. Indian Summer, of course, is really catchy, and it's like a super nice lo-fi indie song.
Yeah, I just love it's just D to G to D to G.
On the opening track, Bewitched, I like how loud the guitar is, and like it's like super tony and like shrieking. And at first it was like, this is a lot, but then it was like, well, you know, it's a lot of good. My only complaints about this album are meanders towards the middle, the lo-fi aesthetic doesn't always work out, and the amateurish delivery isn't always appealing. But I think when it is, it's more successful than it is not. And there are some pretty catchy tracks on this album as well. And the closer is a weird little moment that works well as the closer.
Mm-hmm.
Been on like a decent 6 on this thing. It's pretty good.
I don't fully agree with Brian. I feel like I love the amateurish lo-fi tone. I've always kind of liked that sound, and I like to hear the root of that. Like I said, my only biggest problem is that just sometimes some songs go on a little too long, and if they are going to go that long, I wish they just had like a bridge or just something to change things up.
You wouldn't like the 9-minute cut on You Turn Me On, because it's the same thing for 9 minutes, but it's beautiful.
It's such a beautiful
track, and it's got the female vocalist Heather Lewis doing the whole track, and she just lends this. Anyway, different album.
Some favorite tracks: Bewitched, In Between, Hangman, Crashing Through, Catwalk. Great songs. I love that stuff. 7 out of 10. I enjoyed it. It's not something I like. I'll probably pick up a few tracks from it, but it's not something I'm probably going to go back to. It makes me want to check out more of their stuff, though. Definitely.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do want to hear more.
Good job, Jacob.
For me, this was at about a 7, and I loved, you know, Bewitched, Indian Summer,
a 24.
Hangman.
That's ambitious, but okay.
And the more I listened to it, though, I kept getting brought back to this album because it's so easy to put on. It's only 23 minutes long.
Yeah, thankfully it doesn't overstay.
It's got just some catchy tracks, and the more I listened to it, the more I realized that I just love this album in its entirety. Like, maybe there's not a track on here that's as good as Indian Summer, apart from Indian Summer, which I think is just perfect. Like, I really, really connect with the sentiment on that track. But the more I listened to it, it just kept growing on me, and I just kept getting this urge, like, I want to listen to Jamboree. Like, even though, you know, I'm not going to put on the title track or Ask Me, you know, on their own very often, I just feel like the album as a whole is maybe greater than the sum of its parts. Like, I just kept wanting to hear that whole album listen. So I'm at an 8 on this. I think this is a really, really great album. And Beat Happening they're just an inspiring band. I can see why.
Nothing inspires more than that. Well, if they can do it, I can do it. Motif. Like, that right. Is as inspiring as it gets.
Lately I've heard this song, you see, and it will not let me be. It's a measure or two with a hell of a groove and a lot of simplicity. Well, it's a kind of a song.
So the album I picked is Midgets with Guns by the band Pain. Pain are an interesting group. This is their 1996 release. I believe it's their second album. Upon first listen, you would describe Pain as like a punk ska band, but Pain have since disbanded, but till this day are like, we are not a ska band. And after listening to this record in full, I would definitely agree to that, because they're doing a lot more instrumentally than your typical punk ska band would be doing. And they utilize a lot more different instruments besides just your typical horn section in a punk ska band. But make no mistake, there are a lot of ska elements utilized here. It's kind of insulting to just throw them off as a punk ska band, because they're not.
Right, and I have to say, when I was getting in, when you said, oh, I've chosen a ska punk album, my heart sunk a little bit. I was like, I don't know, like, the ska I've listened to, I haven't been super into it.
All you need is Streetlight Manifesto, Mighty Mighty Bossatones, and some real big fish.
Oh my gosh, Streetlight Manifesto is so good!
That's all you need for some ska punk, like, that's...
I have a bit of genre bias coming into this, I won't lie to you.
Oh, of course you do. Of course you do.
Oh, I mean, don't make me do a prog album, I'll come in and be like, yeah, prog sucks.
But, continue what you were saying?
No, I was totally wrong. This album's great.
Yes!
This album is very, very good.
This thing is, like, shockingly good.
Just
like,
fine.
No!
I was shocked, and this is such an obscure...
Right off the bat, first, like, track... Well, maybe not the intro, but the intro's a great intro to just what you're about to get into. But after Milk ends, it's like, wow, criminally underrated.
I agree.
Really, honestly.
To give some context, these guys' biggest... Pain's closest thing to mainstream, if you are a fan of, like, Hanna-Barbera cartoons, I'm sure you grew up watching Boomerang, the channel.
Mm-hmm.
They did these things called Cartoon Groovies, which is basically, like... A band would perform a song and they would have like an animated music video utilizing some famous cartoon character, whether it was Megilla Gorilla, Ed and Eddie, things like that. It'd just be cool little transitions between each episode they show of a different cartoon. Mm-hmm. Well, the best one from people's perspective is Jabberjaw. They asked Pain, the band, to write a song about Jabberjaw, the cartoon, for this Cartoon Groovy. And it's a f***ing banger. It is probably my favorite song by them to this day because of just how catchy it is, how surprisingly great the lyrics are, even though he's just writing about a cartoon. It's... Go check it out. It's a beautiful song. But that's their closest to, like, if I were to show someone that, they'd be like, oh yeah, I remember that. So that's who they are. And
right.
Right, yeah.
They're not even just underrated. They're just unheard of. Like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I feel like the people who do know about them... are into them and think that they're really good, but just so many, they just haven't been heard of. Going through the track listing here,
there are so many catchy
exactly.
tracks.
Catchy.
I can remember not even just the hook off of Milk, but the hook off Fight, the like some of the melodies on Midgets with Guns, One Legged Girl, just the refrain where he's like, no arms, like that part is amazing.
I remember Chuck Al Hashib, I think, is really catchy.
No, oh. Care that Bob died. It's so good, man. Like, I was listening to it, I was on like my third listen, I was like, how is this so catchy? Yeah,
my first suggestion was Square Pegs, which isn't the best song, but it's
not
just
an amazing intro song, for being honest, but
it's a not gonna knock on this time with a hell of a melody, right?
Oh, never mind. That song's a banger. Hold on. I do have trouble remembering which song to find which
Jesus.
Track.
Grudge, Chuck Al Hishabob, Derision, Adam's Apple, Ellen, Post, Ode, Fast, Milk, Square Pegs, Fight, Midgets with Guns.
My
like, there's
one,
not a single.
My one complaint.
Oh.
It does, the back half isn't as good as the first half.
What?
But the first 3/5, I guess I would call it, this album. They're so good, man.
Well, I mean, like, the night is like after One Legged Girl, it starts to slow down a bit, but like, not
right.
by much.
No,
like,
not really.
And that's the thing, because, when Grudge hits, it's so...
Grudge is okay.
Grudge, I think, is great.
We get Grudge and the people, with 2 tracks I think are okay. Right into Chuck Colosseum, another amazing, catchy song.
Like, yeah, it's like this. It's...
There is a little dip, like...
But it's so small. It's so small.
Yeah, exactly. Like, even the 2 tracks here that aren't my favorites would be The People of People and Island of Fear.
But I hate them.
I'm like, right. I still think they're very good. I just don't think they stand out quite as much.
Yeah.
But
the best song is One Legged Girl.
I agree.
The best song
is One
Legged Girl.
That song blew me away.
That violin moment, when that violin hits, and that's what I'm saying, like... This isn't your typical punk ska. There is utilization of not just horn, but violin, piano, xylophone, like little instruments just come in. Synths too. There is the compositions are very mature and well thought out.
This
isn't your typical power chords, verse, chorus, bridge. There's little things happening here.
Yeah,
that's
a lot of
and it elevates
creativity.
The catchiness and lyrics.
It's all very conventional, and it works just so well. I love Fight.
and Milk and Chuck Elisee so much. Those songs are so good. They're so sticky. And, like, and even lyrically, they're pretty good.
Yeah. It's pretty original. These melodies are kind of new. I haven't heard anything quite like this.
Dude, Fight is so good. How is that not
everybody wants to fight? Fight!
And, like,
the way he's yelling on that track.
His performances are top.
So, just because, like even though every song is super catchy, that doesn't mean every song is doing the same thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The like, melodies are... There isn't a melody that sounds the same.
Right, there. They switch up the melodies, they switch up the arrangements of the songs.
The production is so good.
It is.
Everything is so clear, and normally that's a complaint, but, like, because everything's arranged so well and played adequately, it's so slick. Like, it's... So, like, normally I would complain that this is, like, plucked of any rawness, but I don't care, because even the vocals, which are, like, you know, edited and made to, you know, sound a little more on pitch or what have you, it's still, like, like, some of these songs are still amazing.
Yeah, the songwriting really, any complaints that I would have had about this album from a production standpoint, the songwriting just, it makes them not matter. It makes them very small.
Like, I think it needs to be that way, because when you have so many different things happening in each song, it's good that you get to hear every little bit. Like, throughout, it nothing takes away from nothing. I think the production really adds to that.
This is like if Green Day was good. You know what I mean? Like,
I still think
No, hell no. That's an insult to this band.
No. This is a poppy punk band from the 90s that has that kind of...
But they're
more mature than just a typical
what
pop.
I'm saying,
there's like
they okay. I was going to say, I was like, but these guys are doing like three times the things.
Right,
that, you
exactly.
Know.
This is if Real Big Fish was mature, like, and didn't do their typical like humorous stuff.
I don't know
if
I
would
call this album like lyrically mature.
I like the lyrics.
Sometimes it's pretty sharp. And
I'm just talking on a musical composition standpoint. Like, these guys...
I guess that's my, like, maybe my two complaints are like, it's, you know, there are two very small lulls, I think, in the track listing towards the end and towards the middle end, like somewhere before and after Chuck Elisee. But I think in the opener and the closer, you know, they're fine. The closer, the opener actually makes me cringe just a bit. I understand that, like, they're trying. I just don't find the humor in it. I just don't think it's very funny. But
I don't
care, because it plays so well.
Because Milk is the next
part. Yeah,
it's silly. Silly. It's just to show, like, hey, we're about to show you something really cool, but don't take us too seriously.
Like, I heard Nutsack Sweat, and I was like, okay, you know.
Little slide whistle gets me every time.
Yeah, it does, actually.
I was like, okay. And when the slide whistle came in, I was like, oh, okay.
I heard the slide whistle, I was like, Jacob is probably going to be pretty into this album.
Punk ska band using synths. Like, synths and violin. That shouldn't work, but it...
And it's genuinely, like, emotionally affecting on One-Legged Girl.
Yeah. They stand out, man. Like, there's, you know, a lot of ska gets blended together. Even big bands like Sri Lay Manifesto and Less Than Jake, like, I, you know, all the time I kind of mix their songs up. But, like, these guys, like, I know
Penny. No song sounds the same here.
They use everything so well.
It's like, some really cool riffs and the drumming and the bass work, as simple as it is, it's solid. Like, and everything...
Musically, like, the worst thing about this album is some tracks are slower than others, but I just feel like I need to listen to them more to understand what they're doing so I can decide if I, you know, I think I still like them.
Absolutely. Like when I was listening to Grush, I was like, oh, maybe I don't like this as much, but then that chorus, and I was like, never mind, I love it.
I realized I loved this album when the title track came on and those acoustic guitars. I was like, okay, they are really just doing, like, they're doing so much on this
versatile
album.
Versatile, like,
it
my
is.
God.
And what an interesting concept. Like, when you first hear Midgets with Guns, you're like,
that is an amazing...
But then the song, you're like, oh, it's an actual poignant metaphor.
Right, the
like,
1-2 punch of the title track into One-Legged Girl, that's when I was like, this album is blowing me away.
They're smart, man. They're pretty smart.
And they've only had, like, four albums
I think.
With an EP with that release with Jabberjaw.
I'm scared to listen to anything else. My biggest worry is because music like this, my instincts should hate it, right? Like, my body is like, you shouldn't like... Like, this is poppy, punky, like, ska element. Like, you shouldn't even like this. This album is amazing. I'm scared to listen to their other stuff.
They're switching up the format. Now listen to their stuff. Like,
what if it sucks, man? What do I do?
You guys are huge on Rate Your Music. Jacob, like, all their other stuff, while not as rated high as this, it's still rated pretty high.
Yeah, like I said, very obscure. Not a lot of people know about it, but the people who do rate it very high, it's kind of like an esoteric, highly rated kind
of thing.
Check out their other stuff. Especially, like, their little EP with Jabberjaw, like, my favorite song by them. It's just...
I don't know, man. Fight. It's going to be hard to top. That's just so... And Chuck Elisee.
Can I talk about some of my favorite lyrics? Honestly, I really enjoyed reading through the lyrics on this album, especially...
It's charming. It's really nice.
Yeah, and, like, Milk, like, talking about, like, being bullied and then drinking milk to get stronger so you can fight the bullies, but it says getting strong, it takes too long to become like Henry Rollins.
There's some great references, like movies.
There are,
and
like,
bands,
and then on One Legged Girl, the chorus on that track, if I could run as fast as the Flash, or be as cool as Ash in the Army of Darkness, if I were a guy king or maybe a Viking, stronger than the Thing, then I could win the One Legged Girl. It's just...
It's awesome.
It is. It's really cool.
It's kind of beautiful. There's some beautiful melodies on this.
And I think Chuck Al-Hashid is a funny little story, too.
Yeah, there's humor all over this album. And all of it, except for maybe on Posey Old, is hilarious. I'm legit feeling like a strong 8 to a light 9 on this.
Yeah, I'm feeling an 8 also, Chaz. Honestly, I think this is the best album that you have chosen for a week that wasn't from a band that I already knew of.
Awesome.
So, like, I would take, like, maybe Ween to this, but I already knew Ween, obviously.
Yeah.
But this, as being introduced to a new band,
it's an incredible release. I was absolutely blown
check out their
this.
Stuff.
And how, like, quickly it grows on you. Because first listen, it's like, that was okay. Second listen, like, well, hold on, Fight and Milk are pretty great. Chuck, and then, like, Chuck, it just all falls into place so beautifully.
That milk to square paste to fight is...
Like, there are so many songs that you can just cherry pick off of this thing, and that's the thing. Like, maybe I don't
listen. Like, it's a perfect album for me, where there's so many great singles, but just listening all the way through is just as good. Like,
it's fun. Yeah, listening all the way, like, hey. I find more fun just like grabbing the songs I love, but like listening all the way through is
painless,
just
as good.
And it's still great because you're running into all the songs.
10 out of 10. It's a perfect type of album.
Oh my god!
Like, 10. It's not a crazy 10.
There's
for
not
my
a single like
honestly.
A perfect album to me. Like I said, I can cherry pick singles, I can listen all the way through, not a single track I want to skip. Every song is a banger to me. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, that's
I
the
love
Chaz criteria.
This
actually.
Record. And I myself am going to look more into this band because I'll confess here.
This album rules.
I never listened to this album all the way through. I just knew about the band and what I liked about them. But listening to this all the way through for the first time was an experience because I was like, wow, these guys need more love.
You know, I always.
Check out the other stuff.
This is
like
the highest we've ever been on something we've done on this show.
Right.
We're like, we were blown away. I saw on your Rate Your Music, you gave it an 8. I was like, it's pretty great.
So
this brings me so much joy. Thanks,
I tend to say when I'm presented with a genre that I don't normally enjoy that much, I like to say, you know, there's a classic waiting to be discovered in every genre, or every genre has the potential to make a classic or great album, even if I haven't found it or if it just hasn't happened yet. I feel like this is the best ska punk I've ever heard, and it's going to be very difficult to top it.
That brings me so much joy.
Dude, it's great.
It takes everything that I was afraid of when getting into a ska punk album and just subverts it. Sometimes I'm like, oh, ska punk, it's just going to be a, you know, the samey punk tracks with a horn section thrown in
maybe
to make it ska.
Maybe some political topics, you know.
Right, but this was like...
There's nothing political on here. All these, like, all the themes... Which
I wouldn't even
like
call it
said,
really punk. It has punk elements.
No, it's punk. It's. I mean, I would define it... They say they're not ska. I define it. It's ska. It's just clever, smart ska, and I can see their reasoning, and, like, don't just
maybe
write
it's just
punk
I think
ska.
I think they do that, if I had to guess, just to be ironic. Like,
I think they...
They're totally ska punk, but they're like, not ska punk.
No, I bet they have a lot in common. Like if they said they weren't ska and I heard this, I would be like, they are ska, but I definitely understand why they're saying they're not ska, because they don't want people to write them off.
Like, as soon as the violin hits in One Legged Girl, you're like, yeah, this isn't ska punk. This isn't your typical ska punk.
Yeah, it just has so much of those...
When the synths hit, like, ooh.
Right, all those little details, all those little extra elements and instrumentation, it just really adds to the overall experience. And they're just great songwriters, and I never felt that the lyrics... I never disliked any of the lyrics.
Only on, like, Posey Old, it's like a minute long, and then it's whatever, man.
To the viewers out there, give this band some love. They need it. Because they haven't released anything for a long time. I think they disbanded. I don't know if they perform anymore, but...
They're accountants now out in...
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
Just go hear them. Just, you know,
just listen to their stuff. Send them some love. And tell them Unwarranted Music Opinion sent you.
You would never find this, like, anywhere. No one's going to recommend this.
Except for Chaz.
Yeah. And normally, you know, Chaz has got us on Diet Sig, but now he's back at the
yes.
top. You know. My arms are always open. I picked Brockhampton's album from this year, Iridescence. Brockhampton is a, in quotes, boy band hip hop outfit that formed early 2017, I believe, and released a mixtape of sorts called All American Trash. Release that, you know, got them on the map with a couple of decent singles. But what really set them up was near the latter half of 2017 when they released the Saturation Trilogy. This was three albums that were released in the span of just maybe 5 months or 4 months that were the where the idea was they saturate the market with their music. The first one did really well, the second one did not as good, and then the third one is what blew them up. They were, and in a matter of weeks and months, you know, maybe 3 months at the most, they were signed, they were working on new stuff, and their album was set to release in June. Because of the, there are several members in this band. One of the core members, one of the founding members, Amir Band, was actually released from the group due to allegations of sexual misconduct. And the album for June, originally titled Puppy, was scrapped. They came through with another album title, but ended up settling with Iridescence. Did a TV performance of one of the songs on this album, Tanya, on Jimmy Fallon, to kind of let people know where they stood as far as the events that, you know, were, and to kind of vent their feelings about it. And the reason that we talk about Amir Band getting kicked out and being removed from the group is because it's really instrumental to a lot of the tracks on this album and a lot of the moodier, sadder songs on here. This is their fourth studio album, the first album under RCA, the label that signed them. There are a lot, the biggest thing about getting into them is being able to differentiate the members. And that's difficult at first, especially, you know, it's a little easier on this album because you have guys like Merlin and Joba who are pretty easily identifiable. But then you have guys like Matt Champion and Kevin Abstract, one of the leaders and one of the, probably the most notorious.
His voice has switched up so many different times, you can't tell.
It's hard to tell, yeah, and he's the most notorious member.
Yeah, there are moments where I had to, like, you know, looking, I had to look through the lyrics.
Thank God for Genius, where they differentiate who's doing what.
I do that too to learn the members, but once you learn the voice, you know, Matt is like the, you know, stonery delivery southern guy. You know, Jova is kind of this.
He's probably my favorite. His delivery is really
Jova's
cool.
Really expressive. Merlin is my far and away favorite on this album. The, you know, the very kooky, cartoony delivery, you know, like, voodoo man. It's awesome. but. Yeah, this I'll go ahead and give my thoughts on this album just because, you know, I want to hear what you guys have to say. This is my second favorite Brockhampton album, right behind the first Saturation. Maybe it's on par with Sat 3, but my things I love about this album is I do like the opener as just a nice banger. It took some growing, but the beat is very cool. Like, I don't know. Like, some of the stuff that's at, there's one thing that happens in the back that's kind of like, I think that's kind of cheesy, but the verses have a lot of, you know, energy in their delivery. The hook I thought was pretty catchy, and the way the bass is destroyed before Jaden Smith's features, pretty enjoyable and blood pumping.
And the transition into the second
track,
Thug
Life, is
great.
Very sweet.
It's such a good transition.
It's a great transition. Berlin is maybe my least favorite track. It's kind of, you know, the super kicky bass is cool, but there's like a lot of things going on in the background of this beat I don't really enjoy. The basically no verse sticks out to me. But as it goes on, I think it picks up towards the end, and by the time we're on to Something About Him, I love these little interlude tracks. I don't know what it is. I really adore that track. It's just a cute little admiration track. Trying to Wear the Cash At, this really great banger from Merlin.
Where the Cash At.
I love just the way he delivers his lines.
And I like the bottom.
What's it? Bottom! Yeah, it's awesome. In the middle of the track. The best song on this album is, or at least tied for best, is Wait.
Yep.
Adore Wait.
Oh, I agree.
Super amazing.
I will say, though, the best song, in my opinion, is San Marcos.
Really? That San Marcos
wire
is...
Wire Break is... That... This is me when I first heard that. Like, just off my phone when I did my raw list, and I was like...
I think like, Chaz I was, is making a face right now for
I was like, I was blown away.
That might be my favorite singular moment on the album.
That is a beautiful moment.
That song took a lot of growing for me, honestly.
But I think that Wait is the best track overall.
I love Dom's verse on this track. You know, you gotta recognize the sheep, the wolves. I wanna leave you wool, don't let them treat you like a window. You know you're a jewel. Super awesome, deep moment.
Bars. So many bars.
And then, I think we go from Wait into District. Another moment I'm not so hot on, but it's not that bad. It's okay as far as Brockhampton standards go. District into The Loophole, you know, just a little interlude track.
That's fine.
Tape, love Tape.
Tape is great. Yeah. Tape is probably my second favorite.
That sample is Radiohead's Videotape.
It is, and it's...
this sample's a lot of Radiohead,
tape,
I believe.
I love the drum loop. I'll get into it later.
I love the drum loop. I love the super sad verses on here. It has my favorite match.
And I love that little woodwind kind of melody.
Yeah, it's awesome. Tape into Juvere, right?
It's so good.
Oh, man.
Joba's verse is amazing.
I know everyone's blown away by Joba's verse in this thing, but I think I don't want Merlin to get overlooked. That is like one of the catchiest. Like, I'll be in my bag, going ham. It's awesome. You know, and there's a couple of lyrics like, fans in the bathroom with cameras, you know, that's difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, he just wants to hang out by, like, it's, this song's essentially about the fame kind of being annoying sometimes, and how it's, and Jova's verse is kind of about the attraction.
Not a new topic that's been just but it's done so well.
Well, it's specific to them because of the recent, you know, the member leaving, and that's what, you know, part of the sadness on tape is fueled by, too, talking about
I think
that.
What's great about this album is that even if you don't know the context, it's still a great listen. But when you know the context, it really adds more to the
release.
Yeah, this
is why, it's part of the reason I love this album. I think you get some really capable bangers out of Honey and Vivid as well, which are really enjoyable tracks.
I don't care
Honey's
for Vivid
pretty,
them.
Don't care. Like, New Orleans is more droney, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, the beat is, you know, it's this... and that just loops. San Marcos is a great song. The choir at the end is super great. The Kevin verse is amazing. Tanya is a great song. I was so glad we got the studio version of this song. This song is so, like, sad, like, mm-hmm. like tear-inducing, like, just the Bareface verse at the beginning, Dom's verse, and I want to talk about Dom's verse on Honey as well. Oh my god, that is a great verse. Every summer in the city, you start to feel like Columbine, because you gotta get yours, and I gotta get mine. Like, talking about, like, the violence in, like, the streets that he grew up in, and also talking about the police brutality on, you know, African-Americans, where when he says, you know, when our women start to die, when our children start to die, I don't turn the other cheek. You know, we gave them the leash, you know, we loosed the leash too many times or something to that effect. And I think Fabric is a pretty good closer to the album as well. But I've talked way too much. I want to hear what you guys think.
Wow, Brian, you finally did it. You finally gave me that pick where I'm like, I love this album. Really interesting creative beat work here that some stuff I've... They sample a car revving.
Yeah, that is a great moment for me.
But, like, it's... Whether you like it or not, it's new. Like, I've never...
I've heard that a lot.
No, I've heard the revving thing a lot.
No, seriously, it's not new now. Yeah, in 2018, it's not really a new thing. But so if you like it, then you...
Of the records I've, like... I'm still kind of new to hip-hop, but just the stuff I've heard, I've never heard beat work quite like this, where, like, each sound just sounds so different, and the transitions into other beats, like you guys mentioned, you guys already mentioned New Orleans into Thug Life, but throughout the whole album, when the beat switches up, it's so flawless.
Loophole into Tape and Joubert into Honey.
It's so flawless.
Not that I know, I haven't heard this.
I wrote bars, lyrics.
There's some great lyrics on here, some good lyrical moments. But it's their weakest album lyrically, in my opinion. There's just not as much.
Well, I've always wanted to get into Brockhampton. My introduction with them was in Saturation 2. I listened to a few tracks on that. I kind of liked what I listened to, but I've always wanted to really get into them.
Did you hear Sweet? Just go up on a tangent.
No, the only.
Oh, man, gotta hear Sweet.
The only one I listened to was Gummo?
Gummy?
Gummy.
Yeah, Gummy. Gummo is a 6ix9ine song.
Yes, and that is. Totally different. Totally different.
Let's not talk about
that. That's next week.
Beautiful melodies. Oh, that choir break in San Marco was astounding.
Jess is crying right now.
It was astounding. Some sick flows. These guys know how to work a beat.
Now,
just how they, like, work. Oh, my God. Where'd it catch you?
That beat's really good. What was your standout member, if you can kind of remember the verses specifically?
Joba.
Joba's mine.
I love his sound. Kevin Abstract, though, all of them are awesome.
I'm sad that Kevin's not in much. It was kind of my trepidation picking this album. Kevin's not on it much.
He does some great, like, chorus work.
His verse on Weight, obviously.
It's amazing. Oh my God.
Kevin's chorus work, like, he's in a lot of the choruses, is
I don't want his verse on San Marcos to get over.
Phenomenal production.
I think the production's lacking on Berlin and District specifically.
I think the production's lacking.
I disagree. I think the production throughout is...
No, I will inform that a little bit. They make their albums very quickly, and that's why. And I think the production suffered on this one
I think
as well.
You can tell.
Because on their first three albums, the production is, you know, it's basic, but it sticks out, and it's still pretty cool.
I don't know.
Here, now that we're in a studio setting, and they have a lot more options, I don't think they always use them to the best of
their feel ability. Like...
They made this album in, like, 10 days.
I really...
It doesn't sound like it. I totally don't agree with that.
I think you can hear it. I really think
Not so. At all. Not at all.
So, I don't love this album. No. I really enjoyed it. There are some tracks in here that I do love. I think overall, you know, I would absolutely go back to this album. You know, I don't even think there's a single track on here that I dislike. But I do have some pretty major issues with it that keep me from loving it. To talk about the things that I really did like, when they... keep the production to a singular idea or limit what they're doing, that's when it really works. On tracks like Wait, with the strings, and then when the beat comes in, it's almost like an Outkast Bombs Over Baghdad kind of beat.
Mm-hmm. God, the Outkast influence on some of their music
yes.
is crazy.
And it's, I love it.
So Outkast. Wait is absolutely, I think, my favorite song on the album.
Far in a way.
Lyrically and production-wise, I also think Tape, with that, like I said, it's not throwing a bunch of stuff into it.
It's that drum loop.
It's just the drum loop. It's the little woodwind melody. Mm-hmm. I also think Jovert is awesome because, like I said, it's not trying to do a million things.
The aggression on that burst
right.
is so good.
And San Marcos being like just a little like acoustic ballad with the choir at the end is awesome as well.
You need to talk about Tanya for me, just for me.
I really enjoyed it. It wasn't one of my absolute favorites.
Okay.
That's the thing with this album is when I try to look back on tracks like Berlin, Where the Cash At, District, Honey, Vivid, Tanya to some extent, and Fabric, I just can't think of anything. I remember the hook on Where the Cash At, but nothing sticks out. Like I can't recall very many of the melodies. I can't recall very many of the production aspects.
Because those tracks are very basic.
It feels like they're taking as much as they can and just throwing it on a wall and seeing what sticks.
Berlin changes like three.
I feel like some restraint could have helped this album.
I really disagree. I feel like everything utilized here for the most part was pretty amazing. I could not tell this was made in 10 days. It's like, I think everything works. I thoroughly enjoyed what I was listening to throughout.
Don't get me wrong, I love this album too, but I do wish they had focused, because like Berlin and District
right.
are like two of the weakest Brockhampton songs.
And I think this album it's very good, but it's very
maybe it's because I'm so new to them. Like this is my first introduction. I'm sure if I were to listen to their other stuff, like their more loved albums, I'm sure I'd be like way more blown
it's
away.
It's very good,
now.
But it's very inconsistent at
yeah.
the same time for me. Like my favorite tracks are just kind of in the track listing, like,
and it gets off to a bit of an awkward
yeah.
start where you have like you know, like New Orleans, the Thug Life, I love that, and then you know
Thug
you,
Life I enjoy a lot more than New Orleans.
Berlin I'm like, okay, this song's not my favorite, and then you get two like 1 minute tracks that I love both those tracks, but I mean it is kind of awkward because they sound so different.
I just feel like unfocused is a way that I can describe this album in a lot of different respects, except for the tracks that I've mentioned that I really really enjoy. From a production standpoint, from a songwriting standpoint, and even from a lyrical standpoint, I feel like there's not a lot of moments where I'm like, oh, I didn't like those lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like on the most part, the lyrics are very, very good.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
There's more moments where I'm like, oh, that was a great line.
Can we just
more
talk about how much energy and passion?
Right, but I do feel like, just to end this point, I don't feel like a lot of the songs here have focused themes. I feel like a lot of the members of the band were just wrote verses about what they want to talk about without really seeing how they work together very much.
I will agree with that. That's very clear
from the
get-go. The
verses were just kind of like, they didn't have a solidified theme in the tracks. Like, I couldn't be like, oh, this track is about this.
I mean,
I just have like, oh, it has that verse on it.
Yeah, New Orleans is just like a banger. Like, none of the verses, except for Merlin's verse at the end, stick out.
But I think you're going to run into that problem when you have like a hip-hop group. Like, when you have
right,
so many people writing different things. It is,
but it could have taken. But I'm saying is they could have.
I think
kind
if
of
some studio were to come in and say, "Hey guys, this needs more." Maybe more.
They could have
kind of
reacted that with more time and more communication between the members.
Yeah, I feel like they didn't give them
either that or some like a better direction from the studio.
Or
being
like guys,
hey,
we're going to write a song about this. Let's keep it confined to this topic and make a song. And
but to me,
it could have just used more refinement.
Yeah,
for me, that's
more
just nitpicking at best. Like that doesn't bother me one bit. I love this album. This is so surprisingly heartfelt and
when Chaz has like strange like breathing sounds, you know he loves an album.
Performances.
I
think I might love this album more than Brian does.
I don't know. It maybe do. I think it does lack focus, and they really kind of Achilles themselves when they didn't take enough time to make
my
this.
Biggest
and
problem.
My biggest problem, honestly, is what you had pointed out, is that like a lot of the verses don't match up sometimes. There is Matt Champion. This album does not do him justice. He doesn't do himself justice on this album. He has way more, like, his verse on Sweet is one of, like, the most incredible hip-hop verses of the last, like, 5 years. It's like, the most feminist, like, four women thing I've ever heard in hip-hop. And it's coming from the same guy who on one song says, pissing off the yacht with your... on me. So, and sure, that line's crude, but it's much more charismatic. On this album, he just doesn't have that charisma with him. Even when he's rapping, now I do like his verse on tape a lot, where he's talking about, you know, I'm worried about getting with women because, you know, hit my lawyer for some paper, like if we were to split or something. I do, that sentiment's cool, and the way he's like, but I can't even complain because people are like, well, your music's doing well. It's like, yeah, but I mean, you know.
My biggest issue is that, like, just it's more about the music. Like, I could. That just sometimes musically they do little things that I just didn't care for, and that's like been my problem with a lot of your guys' picks. That just I overall enjoy it, but there's just sometimes like Jane Siberia, there's just a few moments in that where like she does something and I'm like, but again, it doesn't overstay its welcome, and it's very sparse throughout this record. It's that's more of a nitpick, really.
The car revving on Berlin is like
the most, I kind of
it's like
love
the most
that.
Annoying thing
I
ever.
I kind of love that a lot.
Out of the group, it's like the most annoying thing ever.
Wow, I love this record. 9 out of 10. I love this album.
I'm at a 7. I really enjoy it. I think like Wait is like a 9 out of 10 kind of song for me. Like I love Wait. I love Tape. I love Javert. And I love San Marcos.
Yep.
But I can't say I'm actually Thug Life. I really enjoy too. But I can't say I love any of the other tracks beyond that.
Oh,
I just really enjoy
them. On Thug Life too. I always forget about that. Every time it comes on, I'm like, oh,
duh. Thug Life, Something About Him, Wait, Tape, Honey, San Marcos, and Tanya, all beautiful bangers.
The best tracks are, I wouldn't say New Orleans is among my best tracks. I do love that track. Best tracks are probably Something About Him, Where the Cash At, Wait, Tanya, Juvert, Honey.
Why don't you just name the
why
whole
are you
album?
Adding so much enunciation on the words?
I'm trying to make sure I say it right, honestly. And I guess probably San Marcos. It took a lot of growing on me, but I do really.
No, as soon as that choir part hit, I was like, I love this.
I'm feeling 8.
All right, we will return with an episode.
Oh, God, wait, I didn't think about my pick. Go ahead.
With an episode.
Yeah, it's themed episodes. It's funny albums. We're doing, we each are going to pick a funny.
Comedy themed. It's supposed to be funny.
Yes. Yeah, so if it isn't funny, you already failed. So good luck, everybody. I'm doing Tenacious D's debut, Tenacious D.
I've chosen the 1986 debut by They Might Be Giants of. Birdhouse in Your Soul and Istanbul fame.
I guess we'll do Weird Al's, his most recent album, Made of Tory Fun.
Okay.
Good pick. Great pick.
Thank you for listening to Unwarranted Music Opinions. We all pretty much agreed with each other this episode. There was no strangling.
Probably the most positive episode to date, I think.
Join us again when we talk about some strange and hopefully very humorous music.